Welcome to Do You New Metal here on CFMU.ca or 93.3 CFMU if you're listening on FM. I'm your host Katya, and I'm here joined today with two members of Lover's Tease.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the show. So, how about let's just start out with some introductions. If you guys want to introduce yourselves, they're a four-piece band, so if you want to introduce your other band members
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, sure. My name's Carl. I play guitar and I do backup barks. just started, so they are called barks for now.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. And then who's not here? There's Zach, who also plays synth and guitar as well. And Chaw is a drummer. Tom's Go Boom Boom. And with us in the studio, the man himself.
I'm Brandon, and I sing and play bass.
So we are a four-piece, but live we're a five-piece because Brandon writes all the bass tracks, but live he doesn't want to do it. So.
I would never want to do that. We jammed at some point where I was playing bass and doing vocals at the same time.
That's
I was like,
good.
this is not great. It was I didn't want to sacrifice one for the other, so we'll get, thankfully we have talented friends that want to come out and hang out, so gives
thanks
me a chance
them.
To just do what I want to do. So yeah, our bass players that aren't here, we have Tim and Jay and Dan. Jackson.
Yeah, we have quite a few. And Jay, right?
And other Dan.
And other Dan. So we have like a roster of
these. And Simon,
that's right.
We got like seven bass players.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, if you want to play for us, hit us up on Instagram.
I mentioned before, I'm trying to learn the bass, so I might.
Oh, no way!
Very beginner.
Honestly, all the gear is ready. You just, like, walk in, play the stuff, walk out.
Play my bass. Most of the time, people do. If you see us live and somebody's playing a white jazz bass, that's mine. They didn't bring that.
I mean, if you don't load out, you might get, like, one less drink ticket,
because
that's what we pay for now. It's drink tickets.
Yeah.
That's how we pay.
Honestly, that's a good currency. Drinks aren't cheap these days.
Yeah.
True. Okay, but that's awesome. Okay, so you guys are, I don't know, how would you describe your sound? So I know some people call it, like, atmospheric rock, and, like, kind of, like, mixtures sometimes, like, electronic stuff sometimes. Like, where do you guys think you're...
I think we fall definitely like into an alternative category, an alternative rock, metal, some sort of post something, post otherness, post hardcore, post metal. I think there's elements of all those things in it, so it's kind of hard to narrow down what it is specifically because it's one thing one second and then something entirely different the next. So I don't know. I try to stay away from labels, just in the general sense. It's like I don't want to think about what it is because it kind of detracts from. What it is, I don't know. It seems like something to get hung up on. So we're a post something band.
But in the booking world, unfortunately, you have to put a label on it.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, it sucks. So I've been saying this thing lately. I just say post everything because we just play with some post hardcore bands, and then we're like, people call us that, and we're like, well, it's not really us. And then post metal, and that's not really us. Let's just put it this way: we are a heavy band that fringes on shoegaze and atmosphere, and we like. Textures like you heard in that song, right? It's like a rock song, and we have some shoegaze songs. So we just like sounds, I think, is what like make us tick. Like we like sounds, so we try to explore sounds and whatever that brings us into a song, because then you have to contain that sound into some sort of a structure to make it a song, or else it's just sono, which is great, but that's not us. So yeah, just sort of post heavy stuff, and we'll see where that takes us next year. Because I think it's changing with time and with bands we play with and with albums that come out. We're just huge music fans. All four of us are like huge music fans, so we listen to everything. So it just kind of becomes a melting pot.
Dare I say some of the things that are like in the back pocket that I'm like demoing and stuff right now are like definitely leaning more towards like emo even. So it's just like way more singing, drama. Tons of drama, not in like the
drama.
Crying my eyes out sort of delivery or anything like that, but it's just like more of a focus on melody and like traditional structures rather than these other things. So it gives me more of a chance to sing and approach things from that aspect or the direction rather than just kind of like, I don't know, being at the forefront of just like screaming and keeping things aggressive. I can try to like keep things interesting on a melodic level, I think, with new stuff. Which we don't have any to show you, so...
Yeah, well, soon. I mean, but then again, like, a lot of our sound gets informed by what we do live. And live, I think we're a much more heavy band. Aggressive band, I would say. Like, you saw us live. Is that an appropriate way to say we're, like, a lot more heavy live than we are on recording?
Yeah, I would say so. For anyone that doesn't know, I think I actually did mention this though, but Carl actually reached out to me through the show, and I got to see them perform live at Doors. That was a few weeks ago, right?
Like, yeah, September 7th, I think. Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah, it's been quite a while now. But yeah, I would say honestly, like your music generally, I was gonna say specifically about this song "Fane" that we just listened to. It's very like beautiful in the way that it's written, like vocally, like it's just such a nice blend between like the harshness of like the actual metal aspects and the post-hardcore and everything, but then the vocals and the way that the instrumental kind of flows throughout the song still does hold true to that kind of more emotional aspect that you were bringing up as well, Brandon. So I don't know, I feel like in person, like in a live performance, it does come off heavier, but I think that the kind of like vulnerability of like the lyrics and everything still like shine through as well. But I do agree that it does sound a lot heavier and harder like in person, but I think that's partially also the environment that you're performing in and like the energy of the room and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I mean, let's not kid it, like, even though our backs don't agree when we haul cabs upstairs, like, we're still a pretty young band, so I think, you know, full length and then whatever three singles came out, and then and now we're in the process, anyways, spoiler, but trying to write new music for 2025, and I think we're still finding ourselves, we're still finding out what it means to be Lover's Teeth and to sound like Lover's Teeth, but I think we're the one thing, I don't want to be, like, self-indulgent or anything, but like trying to be really honest and hold each other accountable to like what we want to do. Like if someone has an idea and then we'll just shell because social anxiety or like writer's block or whatever, we'll force that person to get that idea out. And that can be sort of like violent sometimes in sort of like a personal way. Cause, but we have this trust with each other that we allow ourselves to get there. So I think the vulnerability comes, yeah, probably from lyrics because this guy puts probably everything he's got on his heart in it, but also from the fact that we hold each other accountable and push ourselves to uncomfortable places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Sign it. Ship it. Deliver it.
No, yeah. That's a fair point, though. Yeah, I agree. Like, being able to push yourselves, too, like, I find, like, that's where you're getting the most authentic music writing, you know?
Yeah, it's also having the trust that someone else will push you. Because, like, I want to push myself, but at some point there's a limit. But if I have trust in my, like, the people I work with to push me to the best I can be, that's another sort of intimacy there that pushes you further than sometimes you can probably take it, but hopefully that.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that, like, for all the great, like, explosive moments we share, like ripping live together, when it comes time to write music, it's more like we're just ripping ourselves apart together to do this big thing and like really get into the nitty-gritty of things. What are these things about? What are we trying to express? And yeah, it's kind of like a painful process. Not saying it's like tough to be around each other or anything like that, but you have to put yourself in this position where it's like you're getting pulled in a lot of different directions at a lot of different times, or like all the time. So it's you might feel very strongly about an idea that you put forward, and then by the time everyone else is like doing something with it, they're reshaping it, it might not resemble what it was at all when you brought it in first. And it's just like, you got to trust that process. Even if it's uncomfortable, you don't understand what's happening at first. You just kind of got to roll with it and see what's going on. And then understand that at the end of the day, it's like, it might have came in as your idea, but it is going to be a Lover's Teeth concept by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that process is interesting. I think we've learned to navigate it a little better, I think. At some point, we're like, but that's my riff. And now it's just like, very quickly adopted the saying, don't marry yourself to a riff, because they're forever. There's millions of them.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, well, that's really great. We can also talk about, like, on the topic of the show that I got to see of you guys, too. We had another band there, Tarbox, who was also playing.
From Montreal, the homies.
Yeah, and also on the same note of, like, really pushing yourself to write, like, specific, like, personal lyrics and, like, authenticity and all of that. This is a story I mention every time I play them on my show, but, like, they locked themselves in, like, a cabin and, like, wrote all of their music for, like, an upcoming release, and I'm sure, like, they were really pushing themselves there, too. Like, I can imagine that kind of environment, like, specifically with the goal of writing music all together in a more isolated location, far from, like, distraction or, like, other influences outside of themselves, like, that must also be, like, a fairly similar experience.
I don't know them that well, but from living in Montreal and being in the scene, we just started to get to know them. they live it like 1,000%. Yeah, I think they practice like 3-4 times a week. They write, like, whenever we see them live, we're like, hey, we really like your album. Like, I say, we're not playing any songs from it because we have a whole new batch of songs. They just write, like, they're monsters. And we're really stoked to be playing some shows with them. We're actually hitting the road in Quebec. News drop. We're not playing with them in Ottawa. So we have 3 shows coming up on November 14th, 15th, and 16th. We're doing Ottawa, Quebec City, and Montreal. And Tarbox is playing with us in Quebec City and Montreal. We're super stoked on that. And we have also our homies in
The Good Depression.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick. For those who don't know, Dylan sings on our song Embedded, which we will eventually hear later today. But circling back to your point about, yeah, we love your songs, they never play them. At that show, we played with Tarbox. I said to them, I was like, guys, why aren't you playing like Snakes or Invader or these songs? And I think we're going to play Invader next. But they're like, I don't know, do you like those songs? I was like, dude, I love those songs. And we play with a lot of bands, we play a lot of shows. And don't get me wrong, don't get it twisted, a lot of our friends are talented and write great music. But when I heard Tarbox for the first time, I was like, oh, I love this. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a back patch right now. I'm going to rep this band forever. I'm Team cool. Tarbox. Like, I'm in. When Carl said, yeah, we're playing with these guys, I was like, yeah, let's go. So we played with them recently, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and they put those songs right at the front of their set.
They were sweethearts. Thanks, Antoine, buddy, for that, man. Yeah. So I think that's a good segue. We're going to, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, let's take a listen here. So this is the song we were just talking about. Here's Invader by Tarbox off of their album, Monochrome Dream. Keep on listening to Do You New Metal.
Show me your
Welcome back to Do You New Metal here on CFMU.ca or 93.3 CFMU if you're listening on FM. I'm your host, Katya, if you missed it the first time. And we're here with Lover's Teeth tonight. Woo!
Hey now! Hey again!
Carl and Brandon.
Yeah. So, previously you heard Invader from Tarbox and Sex Act from The Good Depression. It's kind of funny. The Tarbox song is not, by any stretch, like a new song. That's a deep cut. It's like track 3 off of their first EP from X amount of years ago. But I think that band just pumps out great rock and roll and like badass punk rock, whatever you want to call it. It's got a ton of good emotion and big parts in it that really come together in a satisfying way. And I think he does a great job as somebody who has English as a second language at putting like really relatable, heart-forward lyrics and... like heartfelt and heart forward, I should say, and it's it just makes the whole listening experience with that band great, because I feel like rock and roll hasn't felt like dangerous in a while, and there's like a certain edge that they have that I just really appreciate, and it puts a smile on my face. And then that song Sex Act was off of our friend The Good Depression's most recent full length album called Oxblood, which came out within the last couple months. I don't have an exact date on that, but it's a ripper, it's a good time, and if you're into greasy, dirty, southern hardcore, metalcore, and want to pour a beer on your head or run full tilt through a cement wall, that is the soundtrack to that occasion.
No,
What else we got going on?
It's some really... I really like that. I was going to say that about this track in particular. So Sex Act by The Good Depression is... honestly, like, it's a really, really great track, especially because the two other songs we had at the start of the set were both more, like, melodic
yeah.
and a bit more toned down. This song just jumps right into it. It's really intense. It's really upbeat. You have some really, like, gnarly, like, chord progressions, guitar, like, at the breakdown is just, like, going crazy on everything. And it's, I think, brings, like, a really fun energy to everything. And... you guys also collaborated with The Good Depression, which you mentioned already,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's correct.
So how was that? Because Embedded is also a fairly, like, hard, heavy-hitting track, too. But you do still have those melodic aspects that you typically have on your other tracks, too. So how was that collaboration and blending of musical styles?
So it really came together pretty naturally. Dylan, who sings for The Good Depression, is somebody that I've known for a long time. Charlie and I, our drummer, were in a metalcore band, and we would play with their old band like 10 years ago, opening on big packages that would come through Hamilton. And we were slotted to play a show with The Good Depression and Conversation, but our little boy Carl here ended up being sick and he's an out-of-towner, so we didn't want to risk him traveling and making his condition worse or making anybody else sick or anything like that. So we dropped off the show, but we still went. And I've always been a fan of what Dylan does, because he's got this blood-curdling scream that just makes like the hair on your neck stand up, and his delivery, just I believe it when he says it, you know, when he's screaming like I want to be so much better than this. I'm just like, oh, dang, dude, like I'm feeling that. And so watching the face of our other band members at this show just drop when he opened his mouth, because they had never seen him live before, I was like, these guys are on board. They love what they're hearing. And I've been a fan of their band and him as a dude. He's like a really sweet human being. So I asked him that night. It's just like, hey, I'm in the studio in like 2 weeks. Would you be down? He's like, hell yeah, I'd be down. Like, perfect. And I think, because with that song, it's kind of repetitive in nature. I wanted to add as much variation to a vocal delivery as I could, which is why I'm screaming. I'm kind of rapping at some point. There's clean singing, whatever you want to call it. I'm vocalizing in a lot of different ways, and then Carl's expressed an interest in vocalizing more on our recordings and stuff like that. So writing another part initially with Carl in mind to do it, and live he does take it over, and then I split off and do Dylan's part. But I was already thinking about having another person do something, and then seeing him just be his own badass self in full volume in front of our faces, I was like, these guys are on board. If he's on board, we're doing this. And yeah, he turned around, showed up at the studio 2 weeks later, and I want to say he did it in like 20 minutes or something. He's so efficient. He's an absolute machine. Like, makes me feel like I don't know anything about what I'm doing.
Well, I have to do his part. That sucks. Like, I told you, I've been screwed for a year. Like, it's tough. And like, every time Brandon's like, don't mess this up, I'm like, I will. Like, I still have never seen them live, but I keep hearing that. I think they have a reputation from just being absolutely monsters. The first time I heard Dylan live, it was at Laroon Mountain Doomfest, where he was doing the first, like, he was doing the embedded part, and I had, like, no room, and he just came up, like, took my mic, and I was like, whoa, this guy's a beast, but I was just in my own world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks, Dylan, man. Hamilton boys, too.
Yeah, beauties.
Yeah, that sounds really great, honestly. No, because, like, I really like that track, and so when I first got this song to check out, so Sex Act by The Good Depression, I was expecting a bit more of the style that was on Embedded.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, this is a really great track. I really love it. Like, it is really intense and really fun and, like, upbeat, and I always look for songs like that for myself, too. But it is just really interesting to kind of see, like, that different style, like, the whole shift over, because it was, in my case, a little bit unexpected, but still, like, awesome. Yeah, so that's really cool that you guys got to collaborate on that song together, too.
Word. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Before we move on to our next track, actually, we can get onto it. I mean, I really like this song. We're going to be listening to Stoic by Ivy Gardens.
Let's do it. The road
dies.
I'm
really looking forward to it. I really want to hear it in the studio. So let's just jump right onto it.
Let's do it. These guys are great.
Hey, they're playing Hamilton on the 31st. They're playing a Halloween show. So if you want to go see them, yeah. I think it's at the Casbah. Pretty sure.
Yeah, the funny part about that is that this song in particular, I feel like it made me feel like Halloween.
It's a fun house. It's a fun house vibe.
Yeah.
Last Halloween, they did a Sabbath cover to end their set, and it was so, so good.
Yeah.
Like, like those guys are beauties, man.
Yeah, they're really great to watch. So much fun. I picked this song for the list just because it's got such a frenetic chaos to it that when they play it live, I'm locked into that fun house.
Yeah.
And, there is a bit of a Halloween theme going on with the playlist tonight between this song and its janky vibe and then some boogeyman-esque things later.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to this track because it immediately, like, from the way that there's, like, that cool, like, modified effect on the guitar, it just, like, I just felt like, you know, seasons are changing. There's pumpkins. There's ghosts. There's things are happening.
Let's go.
So, yeah, let's take a listen to that then. So here is Stoic by Ivy Gardens. Keep on listening to Do You Nu Metal?
Oh, no.
Welcome back to Do You New Metal here on CFMU.ca or 93.3 CFMU if you're listening on FM. We're back again with Lover's Teeth. We just listened to their song Embedded. Woo!
I think that's so sick. Yeah, so far that's the closest we've come to new metal between the slam riffs, my rapping vocals at some point, and the fact that while we were writing, we're like, does anyone else feel like this is a Korn riff? Like, does anyone else care? I think we're just going to roll with it. Let's go. And, that got brought up. It was like, man, I think we wrote a Korn song. And then I think I showed the demo to somebody. They're like, since when are you Linkin Park?
We got Linkin Park from that.
Yeah, it's just like, that's cool. I mean, if I'm being compared to that in any regard, and it's funny because I was talking to Katya earlier about that, it's like, I would not want to be the new singer in that band. I would lose my mind.
That live video was cool, though. She's cool.
No, yeah, she's a really great vocalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a nice, like, fresh face to have on the band, too, especially if after all this time, too. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You know, it's like a rebirth of the band, in a way.
Yeah, like, we were talking earlier, and I think it was a good idea to go with someone who's relatively unknown, but also, when you're filling that position, you're going to find somebody who's, no matter what, you're replacing a legendary vocalist. So to put anybody else in their shoes, the bulk of your fan base is going to say, this isn't Chester, it'll never be Chester, why are you even trying to do this? And they're going to get upset about it. But to put somebody in there who, just on a human level, they're obviously not Chester because it's a woman. So right off the bat, they're going to be like, oh, my expectations are different. I'm going to have, like, it's something right off the bat is going to be out of their mind. They're not going to be thinking, this person is going to try their hardest to be something that they're not, because it's like, this is just a different person. You can't wrap your head around that, then... You like ship out, go to a different party.
She's got some interesting qualities that are different.
Very different. I think it's really exciting. I like those new songs.
Like when she's doing old material, it's a little harder because she's got to hit the notes.
Yeah.
But it's the same. Like Alice in Chains comes out to mind, which was like a big band for me, and their career is really cool post Lane.
I love their
second album, The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here, is like on par with Dirt, and hopefully this next album. I'm not as big a fan of Linkin Park. Like, Meteora was, you know, awesome when I was a kid jumping on my bed, which dates me a little bit. I was born. But yeah, anyways, that was Embedded by yours truly, Lover's Teeth. And before that was the boys in Ivy Garden with Stoic. They're playing a Halloween show on the 31st.
Yeah, yeah. Just a reminder on that, too.
Yeah.
But yeah. Do you guys have any shows coming up that you want to plug as well on that note?
PSA? Is that PSA? The time to do it?
PSA noise?
So just got announced this morning when everybody was sleeping and I was on the metro to make it to work. Teeth the Season was a charity show that we put on last year with a bunch of friends, and it did really well, and we're doing it again, so we'll call it Teeth the Season 2. It's still at Doors Pub, which they help us. They donate a lot of money. They donate $1 per can, and last year they like doubled that amount of money. It's like 9 bands. I can announce 5 now because some bands are still touring and gigging, and I have to respect rock and rollers. Loser, who we're going to play next, we just kind of got introduced to them, and Brandon was saying, like, I think we saw them once, and we're like, I think I ran over to them, and I was like, hey, do you guys want to play the show?
Yeah, it came together pretty quickly. I remember we were playing, and I could hear their singer, or somebody in their band, who was just like, hell yeah, after a song, and I was just like, at least, well, one somebody over, and then we chatted afterwards, just like the classic, like, it wasn't just the, hey, good set, it was like, man, you guys are insane, we should hang out, and we're like, yeah, I'm so down, so...
Yeah, they're super cool, and I think they're closing out tonight, I'm not sure. And then we have Good Hunter, which was our bass player, Dan, who moved to California. He's out there now. He's in a band called The Undertaking, which you played before.
Oh, wait.
He plays bass for them. He just ripped Furnace Fest. Like, he's living it up. Yeah, his cousin plays in that band, and I think he moved out there, and he was like, I want to be in a band, and they're like, we're looking for a bass player. So, but his band he plays guitar in that band, and they're coming back for like a one night only because he's playing bass for us. So his band's coming back.
Yeah.
So that's who's announced now. It's for charity. The charity this year was picked by the venue because they donate a lot of money. It's going to be neighbor to neighbor. It's important for the bar and ourselves to make sure there's no religious affiliation. Charity should just be free, right? It shouldn't be like attached to anything, so that's important to us. That's a charity that provides meals, but also education on how to better cook, how to feed yourself better. Just sort of, it's a place with like there's workshops. So it's not a place that just gives you stuff and you're on your merry way. It's a place that actually cares about making your life better, which I think is really important. So yeah, the pre-sale's on now. We have a limited amount of
tickets.
Sorry, I started there. Tickets on early bird because we want to make sure that it's affordable for some folks. But you know, it's a charity show. We're also trying to raise money. So yeah, if you're a little tight on cash, now's the time to go grab them. It's $15, and we got sponsored by Clifford Brewery this year from Hamilton. So they're
Clifford Brewery.
So is that what I said?
There was a few less letters in your version.
Clifford Brewing Company from East End, Hamilton. So they're taking care of all the artists. So they're supplying beer for everybody that's playing that night.
Oh, awesome.
So that is, like, super awesome. Yeah. So yeah. Thanks to them. And that's December 14th at Doors. The Mecca. You were talking about it.
Doors is a church. It's a spiritual place. And while you guys are getting your artist-sponsored beer, you can find me at the bar downstairs drinking orange juice.
Yeah, so it's outdoors, second year, and we plan on keeping it happening every year. So yeah, come out, have a good time. It's pretty much, if you like music, it starts rock and roll and ends heavy, disgusting.
Yeah.
It's just music nonstop from 7 to, last call.
Wow. So,
7 to 2.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Last year. And honestly, it was such a blast last year. So many friends from different genres, different backgrounds, people you went to high school with. So many people showed up, and they kind of dropped in and out throughout the night, and it was just good. The whole bar, I feel like, not only because it was around the holiday season, but just the knowledge that, like, everything they were doing was, like, helpful in a way. I think the spirits were good. The vibe was great.
Yeah.
Really happy to be doing it again.
It was automatically, as soon as it was done, I was exhausted. Everybody was exhausted. Because we provide backline, right? So it's like, we got to haul all that stuff. It's a pretty long day, but at the end of it, we're like, yep, we're doing this again, and I literally started planning it the next day. And I'm sorry, wow. I just slammed on the desk.
The next day. I was like, yo, capture that reverb right now.
So, yeah, please, like, fill our hearts and help people. And it's a really good time. And if you don't know the music in Hamilton, if you're like, hey, I'm new here, like, this is my first term at Mac, whatever, I don't know what the music scene's like, there's literally something for you there. If you want to just check out what live music is from Hamilton, go there. It's the show. Because you can literally, like, you don't like a band, just drop out. It's going to be packed anyways. No one's going to tell you not there.
That's crazy.
Go have a drink, which, you know, buy a can if you do. $1 off every can goes to charity. And yeah, honestly, it's just like, go. Just go.
Yeah. How did you guys get into doing the charity event? Because I know that you started out in April of 2022, right? And then last year was the first official year of the charity concert or show. So was that something that you were kind of brewing on your own? No pun intended, because it has to do with beer. But was that something that you started formulating just like independently, or was that something that was already an opportunity available?
So it's called Teeth the Season. So if you're like aware of the scene a bit, there's called TID the Season in Buffalo, which was Every Time I Die. They did it. It's called Blissmas, which is the new form of it. It's just funny because the Good Depression was supposed to play our cheery show, but they're at Blissmas, which is on the same day in Buffalo. So I think I started putting on shows for our band because no one would book us because it was the pandemic and like everybody was playing shows and we're like, hey, listen to our EP. It's got two streams. And people were like, nah. So I just started doing it myself. And that was sort of a culmination where we're like, okay, we played Hamilton before. We played The Doors before. We played, like, how do we make this a cool spot? And then I was like, Brandon brought it up, actually. Well, charity show is always good around Christmas, and we kind of want to do something nice there. And then he's a big fan of Every Time I Die. He brought that up. So I was like, well, I'm just going to be on the nose and call it Teeth the Season.
Which is awesome, actually. Like, I love that. It really ties in your name and everything, too. That's great.
Well, I think on the other side of things, it just became a thing, like, how do I say this? It's like, I walk to and from our jam space, and there's certain conditions that people are living in the city, and it's like certain things that are just like, they're problems and they're getting worse in a lot of ways, and it's like, what could we do to do anything for that? So I think that was kind of, like, again, how Doors Pub came into it. Not only were they willing to be gracious hosts, but I think it felt important for us to, like, if we're gonna go back there and we're gonna do something to kick off the end of the year with our friends, it shouldn't be about us. It should be for people that aren't gonna have those sort of opportunities or those moments. And like, if I'm cold sitting here, imagine what it is to sleep in a tent, right? Like,
yeah.
So there's plenty of things that we learned, and you guys can still donate to Helping Hamilton Homeless if you're sitting here listening to this and wondering how you could participate in something like that. Saving something as simple as like hand sanitizer is super duper helpful because it can be burned and used as a heater for a tent, which is something so simple that we never even considered. So
yeah, we found that out last year with the charity. They told us about it because it's really clean fuel.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
They don't get like CO2 poisoning or when they're in their tent.
And I mean, like, that's just a little thing that you probably never would have considered, and then it's just sitting there thinking, like, you can either look at the situations in front of you and ignore them and continue to walk around them or cross the street when you see it because it makes you uncomfortable, or you can say, wow, that's a situation and that must be an experience. How can I do something about that? So even though it was small, that's what we decided to do, and we were able to make $1,500 for the
$1,500. Now my goal about it is just making it bigger and bigger. So this year I was like, let's get sponsors into it. Like, let's just try. Because if I get one cool sponsor, then hopefully we can get more. I try to change the bands up. Like, we set off air, trying to avoid repeats all the time because give other people like an opportunity. Like Ivy Gardens was on there last year. Midnight Tripper, they wanted to play. I was like, boys, you've been playing, like, let's just give, you know, the chance for some like other guys, which is really hard to say to friends that like rip and they rip, but they totally understood, which is awesome. So we're super stoked about it. Hopefully the second year is as big as the first year, and that's kind of our wrap up for the year. We're done playing after that, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much about all that information. So make sure that you guys get out there December 14th. Charity event. It's going to be at Doors Pub, Hamilton. Nice and close, easy to get to, and it'll be a blast.
Buy your tickets now.
Yes, get your tickets now. So I guess we'll move on to our next artist, who's actually one of the bands that's going to be playing there, Loser. And we're going to be listening to their song, The Perfect Drug. So keep on listening. We're not done just yet, but it'll be a really fun track. Here's The Perfect Drug.
You want the perfect drug.
Welcome back to Do You New Metal. We just listened to Halloween by Moon Sun Moon.
Originally by The Misfits, but that's a good buddy of mine named Steven, and he Steven, who ran sound for Laroon Mountain Fest. He plays a bunch of music. He's a really prolific artist, and he's a really sweet human being. And now that we're coming into the October Halloween season, I was just like, you know what? Let's do it. It's right around the time I would spin my AFI All Hallows EP. Like you were saying earlier, pumpkins and scarecrows, let's go.
That's all I've been thinking about, honestly. Like, I don't know. I feel like the more we get into October, the more Halloween spirit I'm feeling. And so, like, these songs especially, I was listening to them before the show, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is perfect.
This guy gets me. It's the best time of the year. Let's be honest. Horror movies, cold. Yeah. You get to wear all your cool jackets.
I
agree.
I saw Sleepy Hollow in movie theater. I saw Sleepy Hollow in the theater on Monday, and I was elated. I was so full of joy. I love that movie. I love everything. Time's a ticking. What are we at?
Oh, we're all good. Whatever. A few extra minutes. I did just want to ask, since I have you guys in the studio and everything. So, okay. In terms of the musical scenes, because I know that you guys are partially based in Hamilton, partially in Montreal, I just wanted to ask, like, for your musical creativity and inspirations and stuff, have you noticed any differences in the specific, like, scenes in Hamilton and Montreal? Because I know the Hamilton one, we were discussing earlier how that scene's kind of been coming about fairly recently. So I don't know, how was it in, like, Montreal, if that scene's been pretty, like, strong for a while now, if, like, there's any...
So I think as far as the strength of the scene cross province, Carl would have a better idea, but to your point, Hamilton, I've been playing shows since I was a wee lad, a young teenager, and nothing has ever been as strong as like the Steel City hardcore scene or anything like it is right now, where it's 100 bands playing, or was it 10 bands for $10 is a big thing they're doing, and those shows are always really successful and people are coming out. But there's also a lot of like alternative stuff in the world of like doom rock and desert rock and like alternative and stoner and stuff. That's a lot of the good stuff like that around here. When we go to Montreal, I find that we end up booking with a lot of post bands, and there's a lot of great bands in that scene. Martlet, I'm looking at you. Capitur, I'm looking at you.
Belworth, I just booked them over there. They were great. Small band, really cool.
De Malon Pierre was awesome. Lombra, I'm going to butcher that name.
Yeah, that's all right. Adam Demera from Quebec City. This grandmother from Ottawa, too.
Yeah. So I don't know that there's a parallel. I don't know much about like the French-Canadian hardcore scene or if that is something that exists or not.
It's pretty big. Like Prowl is really popping off now. And like Montreal Madhouse is a really, really cool hardcore thing that's happening. That's really big. I think the difference between Hamilton and Montreal, if I can interject, is that there's so much stuff happening in Hamilton that's different that people don't really have a choice but to cross bill. So there's bills where you'll get like a lot of different stuff. And then you... at least that's my experience, and like there's tons of bands doing a lot of different things, but there's less of those bands in Montreal. There's more bands doing different things, so you get shows that are more aligned. So you'll have a show where it's like more shoegaze, more post, more hardcore, and it's just that. Here you'll get these Lutharo just announced like a show at Coretown, and Killotine's on there, Working Girl's on there, and I think Black Absinthe's on there. They all sound way different, and they're on they're on the same bill, and it's gonna do well. In Montreal, you would get more of the same stuff. And it's been challenging for us because, like, we play shows with, like, post-bands because I fell into that. And, like, we really like those guys. We don't really fit into that. So then our next run, we're trying to do more, like, rock stuff. They're trying to cross scene. There's the thing in Montreal is there's tons of venues. There's 13 venues that you can book. So sometimes there's 13 shows on a Saturday. In Hamilton, we're running out.
Yeah, like, that's true.
We lost this in Hollywood. Corktown upstairs can't book anymore. So Koi was there for a hot minute. That was really cool. We were really excited about that. It's not there anymore.
Down at the end of the month, yeah.
So that's a big issue. That's the main difference from a booking standpoint. Like, I know you mean seeing, like, genres, but from a booking standpoint, it's becoming dire here, and we have to, like, you have to go to shows. It's the only way to save it.
Yeah.
Or else you'll be like, oh, damn, I really like the Doors. Now it's a condo. So, it's really dire, so, like, go.
There you go. Everyone heard it. You got to do it. Okay. Before we go, any new goals or anything for the upcoming year of Love?
You want to say it?
Any specific stuff?
New music. That's why I'm here. I'm in town for that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to lock Carl in our room till Monday and watch him cook.
Monday, I have to work Sunday.
Yeah. Next Monday, November Monday.
We don't know what that looks like at a full length, an EP. The point is new music. We had three singles that are very different, so we're trying to make sure that that's kind of makes sense into a record. That's the big challenge.
Yeah, and it's not like we're starting from the ground up on a lot of these things. Like the session where we did Embedded, we definitely tracked the drums to two other songs that like haven't been played live, and